Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Vinny and Haney. On your home for sports, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday here on The Fan is Vinny and Haney, Cordell Woodland in for Bob with Vinny Serrato, Nolan Quick Draw McGraw on the board. Joining us now via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, we got my main man Bill Ripken. What's going on, Bill?
What's happening, boys? Cordell, thanks for filling in for Bob while he go gets his eyeball looked at.
I'm here to help.
See if he can see out of that eye.
Yeah.
That's right.
We'll definitely see. Well, it wasn't much to see last night for Bob and the rest of Baltimore that are Orioles fans watching the Orioles lose 13-9 to the Red Sox. Bill, you know, Kyle Bradish, who had been pitching really well as of late, only goes 2 1/3, gives up 4 hits, 7 earned runs, 4 walks, and a homer. What were you seeing that was going wrong for Kyle Bradish last night?
Well, look, I think that every now and then he started to spoil us since he came off the IL, throwing the ball as well as he was with like a 2-6 or something in 11 starts. So I think that every now and then you can have a hiccup. You wonder if some of these guys, including the bullpen arms, might be running on a little bit of fumes and it might have been just one of those days. So, you know, nothing really jumped off the board at me. One thing I will say, though, is let's not lose sight. I know Boston has underperformed and probably been a big disappointment, but Boston's got a pretty good offensive club that they can run out there from time to time, and it seemed like last night they were pretty happy to swing the bat.
Oh, no doubt about it. And even the Orioles looked pretty happy to swing the bat. Had 4 home runs in the loss last night. Out hit the Red Sox 15-11. Anthony Santander, he had 2 of the home runs himself. He had 2 of the home runs himself. He looked great last night. How frustrating is it to see that these guys who have been struggling offensively for the most part of the last month and a half, when they are able to score runs, it just seems like they can't get the pitching to back it up?
Yeah, I mean, both of those games, the first two in Boston, 14-8 and then 13-9, awful lot of runs being scored in Fenway. And you know what? Fenway allows that from time to time. But I tell you what, Santander, wow. He's behind Kenny Singleton as far as the homers by a switch hitter for the Orioles and just jumped on Eddie Murray. So when you're looking at a board of former Orioles and you have Singleton and then Murray, and Santander on that list, it's pretty good company.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun to watch him swing the bats right now, both left and right-handed.
Hey, Bill, you know what's kind of frustrating, you know, is Seattle doesn't seem like they don't want to go to the playoffs, you know, and they're giving the Orioles every opportunity in the world, and, you know, they keep blowing it.
Yeah, I think if this thing plays out the way I think it's going to, because I said this the other night with Bob, you know, that 3.5 games is really 4.5 because of the tiebreaker that Seattle has over Baltimore. And if you just think about trying to gain 4 games or 5 games, at the time they had 10 games to play, you go 10-0, and Seattle's got to go 5-5. That gives you the 5-game cushion. So it really is a situation where Baltimore has to win every single game. And the other thing that me and Bob have been talking about a lot is that proverbial so-called strength of schedule thing. And Texas just went out to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Seattle's got every game they have at home with favorable opponents as it rolls out, and they could have pretty much put a nail in the coffin if they win that game last night. But Texas goes in there and blanks them 5-0.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you about, like, with Judge. You know, he's sitting on, what, 60, you know, and he's not getting a lot of pitches. How frustrating do you think it is for him because he's getting so many walks now?
Well, I tell you what, there's two ways to look at it. One is a tribute to him that he hasn't come outside of his game. And I think since he hit homer 60, his on-base percentage is .500. He's walked half the times that he's went up to the plate appearance almost. And that's a tribute to him, but it's got to be a little frustrating. I was watching one of his at-bat last night. It was 1-2, and I'm saying to myself, he's still going to walk. And he fouled off a pitch. They nibbled. 2-2, fouled off a pitch, goes 3-2. 3-2 pitch, not close. He walks to first base. So I think in Toronto's case, it's interesting to watch this because we see a triple crown search. We see him going for the triple crown. We also see him going for 61, which is Maris's American League record and probably in my mind still the record for homers in a season when it comes down to it. And Toronto's playing for something. They want to host that 3-game wild card set, probably against the Rays. So if the time comes that Judge can beat you, I'm not going to pitch to him. And I'm not trying to disrespect the game or shame anything. If I'm Toronto, I'm playing for one thing, and that's to win games the best I can so I can host Tampa Bay Rays instead of the other way around.
We're talking to Bill Ripken, who joins us via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Bill, you know, Cedric Mullins, I like to call him Mr. Consistent. He gets a hit last night, an RBI at that going. We only went 1-for-5, but he gets the RBI last night. And at times, Cedric Mullins has been taken out of this lineup, specifically when they're going up against left-handers. I saw the other day where Cedric led off the game with a home run, and I'm like, man, I cannot with a good conscience say that I think that any Orioles lineup is their best possible lineup without Cedric Mullins leading off every day. Is it to the point now where Cedric Mullins should never be taken out of this lineup?
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here, Cordell, because I've been saying the same thing. When Cedric Mullins is hitting in the leadoff spot, the team looks better just when you look at the lineup configuration. And I understand that there's going to be a time where they're thinking about certain things. And Bill, I think the last time.
Did we lose Bill?
I think we lost him.
Bill must be driving around Falston.
Yeah.
A lot of bad areas up there.
Out there in the trees, man.
He lives up by me.
I know. You know, he might have just pulled back up to the crib. You know, and I definitely want, because I know Bill feels strongly about that. I know he's a Cedric Mullins guy.
Yes.
For sure.
And he's talked about that a lot.
Yeah. And I like Ryan McKenna. I do. I think he's a great utility guy. He's always there when, you know, Hyde calls his number. But, you know, at this point, especially like I said, when I saw Cedric get that leadoff home run, and it isn't the first time he's done. He's done that plenty of times this year. And it looks like we got Bill back. Bill, you there?
Yo, apologies.
All
yeah,
good, man.
When I drive down Waterville, I have no bars on my phone either, Bill.
So here's what I was saying. I like Cedric leading off. And the last time I think the Orioles faced Rich Hill, Cedric did not play. And I'm pretty sure that Rich Hill shoved that day against the Orioles. So I'm with you, Cordell. I need Cedric Mullins leading off every day. Look, can we rely on him being a 30-30 guy in the future? Probably not. But I'll take 20 with 30 stolen bases or in that neighborhood out of Cedric Mullins, and it just makes the lineup look better. They have other guys that hit in spots where they.
We lost Bill again.
That dreaded Falston.
Yeah.
They bit us again. They bit us again. It's all good, man. I know Bill was giving us plenty of gold, and you'll be able to hear that gold later on tonight when Bill and Bob are here on 105.7 The Fan for BBT.
Like, well, we were talking about Cordell, like if he thinks that they should sign Rutschman.
Oh yeah, I would be shocked to hear if he does. Even when we talked about Gunner to see his thoughts on that as well. I'm pretty sure Bill would side with us in that situation. I'm not the sharpest guy in the book, but Bill, you know, I think I can feel confident that he would agree with us on that. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we look closer at this Bills and Ravens game. You got two potential MVP candidates in this game. I asked Vinny, which one would he take? You got Lamar and you got Josh Allen. If one game, all of it on the line, which one are you taking? We talk about it next here on The Fan.
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw. We'll take a trip through the fun house at 11:45. Vic Carucci, who covers the Buffalo Bills, he'll join us at 11:30. And right now, we're looking at the two premier guys in this Bills-Ravens matchup that we have coming up on Sunday. Two MVP candidates early in the season. Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens, Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, these guys, they're tied at the hip, Vinny. You know, they're drafted in the same draft class. They have similar styles of play. Every time you talk about one, somehow the other one comes up in the conversation somehow. If it's all on the line, Super Bowl or bust, to get to the trip to the Super Bowl in this case, since they're both in the same conference, you had to pick one quarterback to get it done. Which one of these guys are you taking?
You know what's interesting about both is, you know, they both can run extremely well. You know, and Josh Allen's about 240.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's a big dude and he can throw it. You know, they're both tough. They're both really competitive. I just think that Lamar fits best with the Ravens and Josh Allen fits best with the Bills, you know, because both teams, you know, what they've done is they've designed their systems around their quarterback.
Yep.
You know, so for those teams. So when did Josh Allen take off? When they got Diggs, all of a sudden we, you know, it's like, damn, where did that Josh Allen come from? And I think the confidence that he's gained has been off the charts. You know, so, I mean, for Buffalo, if I'm Buffalo or, you know, if I'm running Buffalo's offense, I want Josh Allen. If I'm running Baltimore's offense, you know, I want Lamar. Now, if you put Lamar in Buffalo's offense, I still think he would be good.
He'd have the best receiver he's had in his career.
Yep. But he doesn't have the tight end.
He wouldn't have the tight end. Right.
You know, now if you put Josh Allen in the Ravens offense, I think they'd be fine.
I do too.
You know, I think Josh could run just because, you know, they both have running skills. You know, the way both are playing right now, I don't think you can go wrong in either case.
Lamar leads the league in touchdown passes with 10. Josh Allen right behind him
second.
With 9. You know, Josh Allen, however, he's first in the league in passing yards, just a little over 1,000 yards passing. Lamar, 17th, only 749 passing yards. But that's not the way that this Ravens offense works. It's all about efficiency, not about yardage gained, I think. And usually it's like that with the run game. Is usually the run game is a lot about the yards. But this year, it hasn't necessarily been the case. Lamar's been the guy for the most part of this season in the run game as well. And Josh Allen, like you said, he's a runner himself. Both of these guys, it's kind of like a pick'em situation. You know, what is your preference? Do you want the big body bruiser quarterback that's going to look to lower his shoulder and run a guy over in open field? Or do you want the lightning quick Lamar Jackson that's going to look to run circles around your guys in the open field? Both of these guys can throw the ball. They both have a really good arm. You know, it's hard for me to – I think Josh Allen is probably still a better passer to me right now.
Yes.
But, you know, I think Lamar is definitely right there as far as, you know, he can do anything you want in the passing game as well.
Now, when you look at, like, going back to kind of some of the things that you were talking about, if you look at the stats, you know, Cordell, the passing attempts for the Ravens, mm-hmm. they're 25th in the league with pass attempts with 88. Now, rushing attempts, they're 17th with 72. You know, and with Buffalo pass attempts, they're third, 134. Now, rushing attempt, they're 18th with 72.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but on both of those attempts, if you took out the quarterback's runs, you know, and if you took out the quarterback's runs, the running game average is probably less
than... It's plummeting.
Yeah, it's probably in the threes for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting because both guys... You know, both these teams probably rely on their quarterback more than any other two teams just because they both lead the team in rushing
mm-hmm.
and passing. So, I mean, they're so similar in that way and how much, you know, they provide to their offenses.
Now, Vinny, looking ahead at the weather for Sunday, it's supposed to be an ugly one.
Yeah.
It looks like we're going to get a lot of rain.
How about the wind?
And the wind, you know, we'll see what the wind looks like, but definitely looks like we have some rain in the forecast for the game on Sunday. Who do you think that'll impact the most between Josh Allen and Lamar?
We've seen Lamar, you know, when they played San Fran and Baltimore mm-hmm. in the rain. I mean, I was at that game and it was nasty, you know. I mean, Cordell, I mean, Buffalo, they play in crap weather all the
time.
They
do.
You know, so,
they do.
You know, and he's from Wyoming, you know. I think both teams are used to playing in bad weather. I don't think it's going to, you know, does somebody fumble? Whoever turns it over more probably, you know, loses the game. Is it going to, you'll have more opportunities for turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, catching the ball is a little more difficult. You know, so the team that handles it the best is probably the team that wins, you know, and that includes special teams.
No doubt. And I honestly, just kind of piggybacking off of that, you know, I think this is going to be a high scoring game.
Oh,
now, if the weather can dictate, if the weather's going to be really bad, then obviously that'll change. I don't think you'll see guys throwing the ball all over the place. I think, you know, both sides are going to have to go more to a running style. And I think that benefits the Ravens a little more. If you've taken away the passing game and you're forcing both of these teams to run a little more than they have to this point, I think that's a beneficiary for the Ravens. They have a little more in that backfield. Now, Devin Singletary, I think, has been running the ball fairly well this year. The stats may not say that, but just mm-hmm. when I watch him,
he catches it well.
He definitely can catch the ball well, but he just looks more comfortable as a runner this year than he has in years past.
The only thing I say to that, though, Cordell, is they give up 57 yards a game rushing Buffalo's defense.
Ravens haven't been good in the run game.
And you know what they give up per rush? 2.8. You know, so they're stout and they're good. You know, like their linebackers play the run much better than our linebackers play the run. That's one of the big keys, you know. And the Ravens rush defense, they're 13th. They give up 104, but they give up an average of 5.0 per rush.
Not good.
No, compared to 2.8. So, you know, if you're just looking at defensive stats, Buffalo's number one. How about this? This is a good one. The Ravens give up 459 yards a game on defense total. Buffalo 214.
Cut in half.
How about pass? Pass, the Ravens give up 353. Buffalo, 156. And Cordell, they played Miami at Miami.
Yep.
You know, they played the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they played, you know.
Big-time offenses.
Yes, they have. And their defense is still extremely good. So for the Ravens offense, for G-Row, this is going to be a big challenge,
mm-hmm.
you know, for him. And it's going to be for Mike McDonald. This is a big game for Mike McDonald.
No question. No question about it. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll continue our coverage of this Ravens-Bills matchup that's happening on Sunday. Vic Carucci, he covers the Bills for WGRZ out in Buffalo. He joins us next here on The Fan.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in place of Bob. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw on the board. I actually have a funhouse trip coming up next with Quick Draw. But right now, joining us via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, we got Vic Carucci, who covers the Buffalo Bills for WGRZ out in Buffalo. What's going on, Vic?
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Yep, enjoy it, Vic.
Thanks for making some time for us today. Got a big time matchup coming up this weekend when the Bills come to town to take on the Ravens. Two MVP candidates in this game, Vic. And one thing that both of these teams have in common, they both just suffered heartbreaking losses to the Miami Dolphins. The Ravens locker room wasn't a pretty place to be after that game. What was the vibe like out in Miami when the Bills lost?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, I think there were a couple of differences. And, of course, the Ravens have dealt with their share of injuries, still are. The Bills dealing with a real rash of injuries for the first time in a long time for this franchise that's been – and all you can only chalk that up to pretty much good fortune. But during the course of that game, the heat issues were intense in South Florida. And multiple Bills players, even those that – spend a good portion of their off season and have homes in that area, were having problems dealing with it on the football field. But you know, I thought there was an overarching sense that when it was over, they knew they made mistakes. They cost themselves a game mm-hmm. with mistakes more than it was a case of them just getting beaten down by a good Dolphin team.
Hey, Vic, when you look at this Buffalo team, I mean, they're number one in defense, two in offense. I mean, statistically, they're outstanding, and especially going down there and playing, what, without six starters? How many on defense, how many starters, you know, are you guessing that may be down this week against the Ravens?
Yeah, Vinny, and that's the thing. They were missing most of those players on the defensive side. Their entire secondary wiped out by injury. Two of their best defensive linemen and played a solid defensive game
yeah.
when you consider right what they did. But to your point or to your question, I mean, it's hard to gauge right now. It'll be interesting to see what today's injury report looks like. I would have to say, of course, Micah Hyde's gone for the year. And then the Christian Benford, the rookie Benford who played well, suffered a broken hand and has undergone surgery. So you got to figure he's out of there, and he would count as a starter that's expected to be missing. And I would be surprised if Jordan Phillips, with the hamstring injury that he had suffered against Tennessee, is going to bounce back from that very quickly. Poyer, hard to say with the foot injury. My sense would be they might be missing him as well. So let's call it out of those six. Let's call it at least five right now, and then you keep an eye on the center, Mitch Morse. Yeah, Tommy. You know, Tommy Doyle was another guy who was playing, although not a starter, but suffered a torn ACL. So they brought in Xavier Rhodes to the mm-hmm. practice squad. I got a feeling he's going to be activated and playing, if not starting, in this game Sunday.
Now, Vic, you know, this offense, a lot of attention goes to Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, and rightfully so. But me and Vinny were kind of just talking about this offense in the last segment, and I mentioned Devin Singletary. He just looks to be a little different this year. And I know the stats aren't necessarily jumping off the page or anything like that, but have you seen any progress in Devin Singletary this year that of him showing certain things on the field that you may not have saw in years past from him?
Definitely. You guys are identifying a right. I think you're spot on with that point. I think he has improved his game. He's been working at it. He knows there's been a lot of pressure and a lot of question about that run game steadily. But some of it, if not most of it, guys, is due to this the offensive philosophy that takes them away from it. They are so dependent on the pass, both in terms of moving the ball long or short, and they treat it like a part of their run game. They treat it like the, quote, extended handoff, if you want to call it that. When you run 90 plays like they did against the Dolphins, 90 plays, and you're throwing for most of those when Josh Allen's in the 60s throwing the football, that's telling you that, you know, not every one of those is a bomb. Not every one of those is a deep out. They are throwing a lot of short and intermediate stuff, and that's kind of been the way Ken Dorsey has been managing it. Singletary set a career high with 9 receptions, so there was a lot of checking down that Josh Allen did, and that too was by design because the Dolphins were taking away all the deep stuff.
Hey, Vic, for Sunday, looks like it's going to be raining. You know, I'm guessing Buffalo, because Cordell asked me, I said, you ever been to Buffalo, Cordell? The weather's never nice in Buffalo, right, Vic?
Hey. Okay, just because I was taking out the garbage and I was like sprinting to my garbage pail because it wasn't just raining, but it was like cold rain. I hated it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 63 and rain, you know, so yeah. I'm guessing that it's not going to affect Josh Allen or the Bills at all.
I wouldn't, I'm not sure I'm going to go that far. I know what you're saying in terms of being climatized. Look, they had problems with the heat, which, you know, you could argue that
so did the Ravens.
Those were too great to have the Bills. I'm talking about having problems with the. Yeah, you said the Ravens did too. Okay,
yeah.
But I'm saying too much was made of that, I think, and it raises questions about how hydrated, how prepared were you for that, Vinny? You know as well as anybody what the rule of thumb is the week before you're going into that kind of climate, right?
Drink.
Hydrate. And I don't know how many guys got the message. And I know Sean McDermott can't walk around the locker room, nor can John Harbaugh, you know, with water bottles forcing these guys to drink. But they have to take accountability. But to your point about weather affecting this game, rain, and that the Bills would be oblivious to it, I mean, generally I'll say yes. But let's see how the center and quarterback exchange goes, number one, because Mitch Morse, if he's out of this game again with an elbow injury, and that they're going with their backups at center. He had some issues with that, you saw, against the Dolphins. And two, Josh, his throwing hand was bothered. It was checked on the sideline. They say there was nothing in the way of a fracture or anything like that, but the head coach made a point of saying that he had general soreness, which I know is probably true for a lot of players after 3 games into the season. But I would tell you that gripping the football, all the things that wet weather can do, could affect them as much as anybody.
We're talking to Vic Carucci, who covers the Buffalo Bills for WGRZ. He joins us via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Vic, the Ravens statistically have one of the worst pass defenses in the league right now. You got Stephon Diggs, who's on a heater so far this season, and pretty much since he's joined Josh Allen out in Buffalo. Is this a favorable matchup, you're thinking, for this Bills passing attack going up against this struggling Ravens secondary?
I mean, I would have to think so, right? You, what sticks in my brain is seeing this Raven team against the Dolphins and seeing how the Dolphins just obliterated what they did and all those mistakes that were in coverage. Some of those throws, I know, and you know, that Tua Tagovailoa made were good, you know, point throws that even good coverage couldn't prevent. But for the most part, it looked like a free for all in the secondary that they took advantage of, Miami. And I would have to believe the same for Buffalo. It's so hard to cover when you've got too many guys for your secondary to handle. So you start with Diggs. You got Gabe Davis coming back from an injury. He wasn't quite himself against Miami another week. He's a problem. And again, how much attention can you pay to him if you're doubling on Diggs? And then you've got Isaiah McKenzie, whose speed is tremendous and is also a guy effective in those bubble areas. And then Dawson Knox, the tight end. So it just piles up. I think it gets harder and harder when you're a defense. The pressure is on, and you get pushed to that fourth guy, that third, fourth, fifth guy in your secondary, nickel and dime. you got a lot to worry about.
Hey Vic, have you noticed much difference between like Ken Dorsey's offense and his play calling compared to Daboll?
I've noticed that he is, besides, you know, a guy who likes to smash computers.
I'm the same kind of guy. You should see me after a loss.
But exactly, they love the passion. But hey, here's the thing about Ken. It is a little different in this sense. I see him attacking more of that intermediate area and setting up throws for run after catch. So he's been working. They spent a lot of time this offseason with Josh and conceptually, scheme-wise, to make those throws that receivers catch in stride so that they are, you know, making movement instead of hooking up and then catching, and then like Cole Beasley, get a spot and you kind of go down right there. Now, that could move the chains too, but it's not nearly as impactful, I think, as Isaiah McKenzie working from that same slot-type role and then getting movement after catch. Diggs is you see him working multiple routes. He can work the inside as well as the outside more. And I'd say that I see more of Diggs underneath coverage than I saw a year ago with Daboll. I think Daboll was a lot more about stretching the defense and doing that to set things up underneath. I see Dorsey kind of doing the opposite of that.
Great stuff from Vic Carucci, who covers the Buffalo Bills for WGRZ out in Buffalo. Vic, appreciate you making some time for us today, and we'll see you maybe on Sunday.
Yeah, always a pleasure, guys. You be well.
All right, Vic. Have a good show Saturday.
Thank you.
Yep.
Vinny and Haney, we're back here on 105.7 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw. That's next here on The Fan.
What are you drinking? Vinny, cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday here on The Fan is Vinny and Haney, Cordell Woodland in for Bob with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw on the board. We're going to take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw in a second, but before that, let's grab a call real quick. Let's go to George in Baltimore. George, you're on The Fan.
Yes. Good morning. How you guys doing?
What's good, going George.
On? Question. Why does everybody keep giving the general manager a pass? We know we need a rusher. But we needed a rusher for over 4 years, and he hasn't drafted a rusher. Now, what all pro has he drafted? None. He should be fired.
Well, I appreciate the call, George. He definitely drafted a pass rusher. Now, has he panned out? That's another story. You know, the draft classes hasn't necessarily been spectacular to this point. The free agent acquisitions haven't been spectacular. Marcus Williams looks good. But outside of that, it hasn't really been much to brag about.
I think Ajabo is going to be the real deal when he comes in. I think he's much farther along, you know, than Owe. Owe is not a natural. Owe's not natural, you know, where you get a guy like Ajabo who the year before had one tackle, you know, and barely played.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, he got a little skill because he's a really good athlete, you know, and the dude has like 15 sacks and he can set moves up. He can spin back inside. He can really bend a corner. If he would have been healthy, Cordell, he'd have been in the top 10 picks.
No doubt.
You know, so I'm just, you know, Bob thought Owe was going to have over 10 sacks. And in last year he had 5.5. I said, you know what, if he gets eight or more, I think that would be good progress for him. And I don't know that he's going to get it just because I just don't see him working the moves and stuff. You know, he's just it's just a struggle right now. And you know, like in the Jets game or whatever, they were doubling him. You know, they were chipping on him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe JPP will help him out. You know,
we'll see. You know, and I was in that ballpark as well, kind of thinking that that Adafe Owe would have 8 to 10 sacks this year. On Ajabo, look, I think Ajabo definitely was spectacular his last year at Michigan. I agree he would have been a top 10 pick had he not gotten hurt. But, you know, when you are Eric DaCosta and a lot of your draft picks have not panned out to this point, mm-hmm. when you take a gamble like the one that it wasn't a big-time gamble drafting Ajabo in the second round. It's good value, if nothing else. Oh, definitely no good doubt. Value. But it's like if we're kind of holding out hope that he works out. And to this point, most of the draft picks haven't worked out. So, you know, and Ajabo's dealing with a big, you know, an injury that basically could potentially cost him the rest of this year. It clearly cost him in his draft stock. It'll be a big time wish to see if he actually turns out to work out, because a lot of the guys that were drafted healthy haven't even worked out to this point.
Yeah. You know, well, this year's draft, Linderbaum looks really good.
Linderbaum looks good. I like Linderbaum. And I like Pepe Williams.
Pepe, yeah, and Likely's good.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, they have the makings. Mm-hmm. And with Ajabo, I'd have done the same. I'd have traded up, you know, in the second round to get Ajabo. I mean, that's – and here's the thing about it is I mean, you got – with Ajabo, you got the guy that coached him the year before.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you got – more information than anybody in the world's got on Ajabo and what he can, can't do and all that. So, to me, that was a no-brainer pick. There would have been nobody I would have rather had than Ajabo. Now, Kyle Hamilton, you know, I mean, Jordan Davis hadn't done anything either.
Not much. He is part of the number one defense in the league
right
now.
But he didn't play on third down.
Yeah, he's not playing a lot.
Yeah, he's a run defender.
Right.
So, I mean, you're going to spend all that. But Kyle Hamilton has been, thus far to me, huge. I said this past summer, I thought he would be in the rookie of the year talk just because they would use him to blitz, mm-hmm. you know, and he'd make all these plays. He's not making the plays like he made at Notre Dame. And he just looks like he's not playing as fast.
Right.
You know, and to me, that means he's thinking way too much. And I'm sure, you know, the mistakes that he made in the last game, you know, it hurts the confidence little bit. So maybe we see a much better guy now after making a play, you know, that maybe he gets a few more reps and maybe he gets some more, because they're going to test him. I mean, you saw last week, Armour Davis was out there. You know, he had like radar on him,
yeah.
You know, and then he was gone. And then they brought in Stevens and they stayed
couldn't
after him too.
Yeah, I definitely hoping Kyle Hamilton could build off the big play he made in the Patriots game last week, forcing that fumble in the open field at a pivotal time in the game as well. Quick draw, let's take a quick trip through the funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We get a few in here. This first one here from Steve in Millersville says, winning by consistently trying to outscore your opponents in a shootout is not sustainable. I do think the defense will get better, but how soon?
Well, the only... They have a couple problems defensively, in my opinion. Is number one's pass rush. You know, you got to be able to get pressure, you know. And number two is on the run defense, the linebackers, man. The inside backers in the run defense. I mean, Josh Bynes had 10 tackles, but, you know, where were most of those tackles?
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, and Queen's been so inconsistent this year. That's his problem. And I like Queen when you blitz him in the run game and stuff, because he, you know, it makes up for his
and in
instincts.
The pass game too. I like him as a blitzer. He, you know, gets to the quarter, does a good job.
You know, and he did a decent job, you know, covering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week when he covers the back on it, when he knows who to cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he takes proper angles. Yeah. Well, if you look at it, how many superstars do they have on defense? Up front, none.
Three.
And in the back end, Marcus Williams.
Peters and Marlin. Those are probably my three. I think Calais has played really good this year, though.
Calais has played good. He's playing way too much,
yeah.
But he's played good. So, I mean, they just don't have, like, you would like some impact guys up front.
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at Buffalo's got like a rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they got Von Miller, they got Rousseau, they got, you know, a lot of dudes up front. Plus, and the back end, they had, you know, Pro Bowl guys too, but they're hurt right now. And at linebacker, they got, you know, first round pick in there, but their first round pick is playing good. And Milano is like, you know, like Gary Plummer, you know, like a really smart dude that makes plays. So, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, you know, big physical, he can run. So, you know, that's why they're ranked number one, and the Ravens are 32nd right now. And the thing that Mike McDonald's doing, he's not playing zero. You know, I mean, he's usually has a safety back in the middle of the field, even if they're playing man coverage.
And one more here on the Orioles. Texter says, I think Anthony Santander is the clear-cut team MVP after this recent stretch. Adley a close second, but didn't play a full season. Santander gets credit for staying healthy for the first time in his career.
Look, I'm not going to not giving Anthony Santander, you know, a vote for the most valuable Oriole. I'm not upset at that at all. I can't condone saying that he deserves most valuable Oriole for the year just because of what he's been doing down the stretch. He's had a good year in general, I think, but he's been lights out down the stretch. I'll give the Texter that. But it's not enough for me to vote him as the most valuable Oriole. You could clearly see the impact, the instant impact that Adley Rutschman has had on this team since day one. And I don't think it's any coincidence that their winning ways kind of got going once Adley Rutschman was called up to this major league roster. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip with a whip around. We'll actually go whip around and look around Major League Baseball, a couple of games that kind of would have impacted the Orioles going on last night. Also, a former Oriole involved in a crazy situation down in Miami. We'll look at that next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.